You're with the Religion and Ethics Report here on RN. I'm Andrew West. Across the Tasman in New Zealand, there was an election last year. The result, no surprise, the centre-right National Party government was re-elected comfortably. But in what amounted to a pretty bad night for the New Zealand Labour Party, the former leader Phil Goff found something to sing about.
And there's the person that I've nicknamed the new Arnold Nordmeyer of the Labour Party, David Clark from Dunedin North. He's going to be a great Member of Parliament. Yay! Presbyterian Minister. Former Treasury Analyst, but not a wowser. So, really good to have him there.
Well, I asked the said Dr. David Clark MP what Phil Goff meant by the wowser comment.
Andrew, I think he made the obvious reference to my church background, which is something that in the Labour Party we probably haven't seen much of in New Zealand for some time. There's been a feeling that New Zealand's been a wee bit secular through the Helen Clark period of prime ministership, and that's strongly associated with the Labour Party, which is not our history. And so I guess there was an obvious link being made there.
Now, it's a media cliche, but we have been besieged by it in recent months as we watch the Republican primary election unfold in the United States about the power of the Christian right. But there's a Christian left, and I guess you're part of it.
Yeah, indeed. And I think those who have associated with the Christian left, certainly in New Zealand, have tended to not wear their colours quite so much on their sleeve, their religious affiliations, I mean. So they are a bit more anonymous in that respect. And certainly a lot of the senior people in the Labour Party over the years have been regular church attenders. A lot of leading public servants in what is identifiably a secular state have strong Catholic social justice roots.
You're, among many things, an economist as well. Is there a Christian economics?
Yeah, I would describe myself probably as a bush economist. I haven't trained formally in economics. I worked at the New Zealand Treasury for 2.5 years and then went on to do some economic things with the development of the emissions trading scheme in New Zealand when I briefly worked for a cabinet minister. So my economics is kind of hands-on. With that rider, I would say, you know, these things sit in tension, economics and religion. The basic principle of economics, or as it's commonly practiced, is that there's not enough to go around. And the basic premise of Christian religion, in my view, is that there is enough to go around.
But you can't necessarily take the loaves and fishes approach to the treasury, though. You can divide equitably, but it isn't possible to multiply from very little, is it?
You can find plenty of studies that say if you want to make money, you've got to invest something first, and then you can find other ones that if you want to save money, don't spend it.
What parts of Scripture have informed your social democratic views on the economy?
I focused a lot of my personal beliefs on Jesus' teaching. I think his example is particularly important to me, and that is around a life that was lived in service to others. And also the stuff, I guess, around poverty. My concerns in politics are shaped by seeing poverty in our communities and wasted potential that goes with that. And certainly my reading of the Gospels is that that was what Jesus spent a lot of time talking about. He wasn't particularly concerned about issues of sexuality, which seemed to dominate church discussions. He was more concerned about the poor.
What do you think of the new dividing lines in politics for Christians? Because I guess once upon a time they were pretty blatantly doctrinal or sectarian, but is there a new dividing line?
This is an interesting question. How is it that the Christian right and the Christian left can appear to be so far apart on so many issues? I think in terms of what I deemed to be moral or personal questions, that's more explicable because the Bible is less explicit about lots of those things. And so it's easy to see how Christians could come to different views on those matters. I mean, I do subscribe to a liberal interpretation of God having a liberal love for humanity. And so for me, a whole lot of stuff falls out of that and a creation that's good and so on. And so my assumptions start with people being good. But what surprises me is where politicians differ so much on how we deal with issues of poverty and vulnerable citizens. But equally, those Christians on the right can usually present a rational explanation for how they've got to where they are.
Yes, you mentioned that you were a liberal on many theological issues. I think I read where you officiated, at least in a civil capacity, at the same-sex wedding of a Labour MP.
That's right, yeah. I'm a civil union celebrant, as well as a marriage celebrant as a result of being a Presbyterian minister. And so I, you know, had the opportunity to celebrate. And it's actually our deputy leader at the moment, Grant Robertson, had the opportunity to celebrate at his civil union and his mother's before that, actually. That's a whole other story. That's a very special time. And I guess the Presbyterian history there is part of what informs that for me. Presbyterians have never viewed marriage as a sacrament per se, and in fact in New Zealand at least, Presbyterian ministers were the first to be performing garden weddings. It's a civil ceremony, and sure, there's a religious component to it.
When you did preside at Grant Robertson's same-sex union, did you get any flack from any members of the Christian community or your own church?
Not at all. In fact, it really hasn't been an issue for me at all. There are, in the Presbyterian Church in New Zealand, which I'm aware is a little bit different to the Presbyterian Church in Australia, there have been for some time out gay ministers. Now, I'm not gay, so perhaps that's part of the reason why I haven't copped the flack that some of them have copped. Their necks are probably higher above the parapet than mine in terms of things that are going to make some people in the community feel uncomfortable.
Is this largely because the New Zealand Presbyterian Church has been in the vanguard of liberal Christianity in New Zealand?
I think it's probably fair to say that it has been waning since the 1960s, 70s. We had a prominent citizen who was head of our theological school here, tried for heresy in the late 60s, which was at the time world news, Lloyd Gehring, who's received a number of honours for his service to New Zealand society subsequently. But at that time, certainly the Presbyterian Church was at the vanguard. But since that time, there was a reaction to that, and various more liberal ministers left the church over time. There was also an ecumenical movement that fell over in the 70s, which was bringing together the mainstream churches. And had that proceeded, we may have had a different church today too. But again, some people fell out of love with the church when it failed to make the necessary small compromises to achieve that unity.
It's quite possible, David, to be progressive and liberal in political thought, but continue to be conservative in theology. So I'm trying to get a bit of a handle on your personal theology as opposed to your Christian-inspired political views.
I guess, ultimately, I'm probably not terribly conservative in my theology, but nor am I prepared to say that, you know, anything goes. I think that Christianity is about following the way and following Jesus, and that does set down a certain way of doing things and a certain way of engaging with church and with scripture and other things in order to ascertain what God's purpose is for our lives.
From that, I'm assuming that you're not part of that school of thought that was popular in the 70s among some Reformed Protestants about you're not a death of God Christian. I'm assuming you believe in a divinity.
Yeah, I do. Although, I'm influenced by or have read those theologians, I think that they make a point that the experience of God for modern human beings is quite different to that which went before. We don't experience God in the same way as people did at the time of Jesus, you know, the way in which they believed in miracles. I think for modern human beings, we have to accept that the world's changed and that science has happened and that science and religion serve different purposes. They're not in conflict. Science tries to explain how things happen and religion tries to explain why things happen.
The Reverend Dr. David Clark, Presbyterian minister and new Labour member of the New Zealand Parliament.